I just thought we needed a reminder this morning, because it's real easy to get comfortable and forget who you fell in love with. It's real easy to forget what you've gotten yourself into when you fell in love with him. I think it's like a relationship. I mean, you remember what it was like when you fell in love with him, right? And sometimes when we fall in love, I mean, it's just an incredible thing. I mean, you ask yourself maybe some days, what have I gotten myself into? And I want you to know, I have fallen in love. And I mean, one of those days, you remember what it's like when you fell in love. You know, you had to tell your mom and dad, there's someone you've got to meet. I've fallen in love. And I want you to know something. I have fallen in love with Jesus. And I had to bring him home and tell my mom and dad, hey, mom and dad, I've fallen in love, and I want you to meet this Jesus. Have you forgotten? Because I think sometimes it becomes common. I mean, we come to church, and it's like a relationship. You've just been in it so long that it just becomes, I hate to use the word, common. I mean, when you fell in love and you were so in love, you would do anything. I mean, you would go anywhere. You would do anything. You couldn't wait to get around them. I mean, that's all you could do. You'd sit on the phone for hours upon hours upon hours. You'd write love letters, and God forbid you even tried your hand at poetry. And you did the cheesiest things because you were so in love. But something along the line happens, and it becomes common. Has Jesus become common to you? And I just wanted to remind you who he is. Because the Bible warns us today, please don't become common. Know the difference between what's common and what's holy. That's what the Scripture tells us today. I have been reading through, I went through the New Testament. Oh, John, Matthew, Mark, I mean, Corinthians, Romans, oh, the beautiful writings of the epistles of Paul and Ephesians and Galatians and just incredible Timothy, and then through Revelation. Got done with that. I have been now, in the last few weeks, going through the New Testament. I got to tell you something. I love going through Genesis. But I got to a place, after Genesis and Exodus, I got to a place called the graveyard of Leviticus. I'm telling you. That'll ruin a person's heart. I'm so motivated, God. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm reading the Bible. And you get to Leviticus, and make sure it's 1 cubit tall by 3 cubits wide, and cover it in gold, and make sure there's 50 tassels that are all laden in bronze, and make sure that that's 2 cubits high, and use 3 omars to mix the incense, and make sure that you have 15 tent curtains, and those curtains are to be one cubit wide, and make sure there's 50 round stanchions that are going to hold it, and your poles need to be laden in bronze, and each one needs to be 15 cubits long, and make sure it stands 9 cubits high, and when you do this, and 14 omars of this, and make sure the ephod has 12, and I'm going, and it doesn't say it once. It does it over and over and over. God tells Moses. Moses tells Joshua. Joshua tells the people. And Moses reminds the people. And then you get to Numbers where I'm at, and I stopped at Numbers 13. I'm thinking, God, this has got to get better. What does this all mean? And in the middle of all this, tucked away in the graveyard of Leviticus, was Leviticus chapter 10. And I stopped and I went, oh. It's like I'm in a desert. And I found an oasis, and I was like, is that a mirage? Is that really water in the middle of this? In Leviticus chapter 10, it says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons, 4 sons of Aaron, the priest, 2 sons that are serving in the temple, come before God. And they're serving God with their incense. And in verse 1, it says they do something very different. Common. Normally, we're supposed to go to this thing that's 9 feet high by 15 feet long by 15 feet wide, and it's got on all 4 corners of this altar that sits in the inner court, it's got these 4 horns, and they're all in bronze, and there you'll bring, you know, 4 calves for the fellowship offering, 2 oxen bulls for your sin offering, 2 turtle doves for this offering. Make sure the turtle doves, you don't decapitate them, just cut their neck enough, and make sure you put the blood and sprinkle on the right ear, make sure it's on your right thumb, make sure it's on your right right big toe and just a little sprinkle and then splashing up against the altar and make sure that blood's just this much and then make sure you dispose of it this way and do it exactly that way. And oh boy, this is exciting, isn't it? This is what I've been going through. And in the middle of all that, I'm like, why? Why, God? Why down to the Omar? Why down, the teaspoon? Why exactly the way you say? And I found this story in the middle of all this, and it all made sense. And so these two priests, these sons of Aaron, Moses' brother, are serving, and they've got these incense, and they come before God, and they're like, God, here you go. And so today's theme in our Roman walk, in what when in Rome, today is, what's your aroma? What is your smell? Do you know you have a smell that God smells you today? Not just your neighbors, but God smells you. And hopefully you got some deodorant. What do you smell like to God? God goes, I smell you. Because the Bible says we are an aroma. I mean, God lifts up, we have these incense, and it's like, make it exactly. Well, these two guys decide on this day, they go, and instead of going to this huge altar where the sacrifices are, exactly the way God, you know, we don't have to go all the way back there to do this. Look, we do this every day. And it says they bring strange fire. Strange fire. Strange fire. That's what your Bible says. Strange fire. Or common. What they did is instead of going and getting the fire of God from the altar, God's fire, they decided to grab their own Bic lighter and they light it up with their own fire. They bring their fire. And God says this is happening in the church today. I believe the message today is this, that we love God, but God has become so common that for me to go through and do it exactly the way God, you know what, God, I just don't have to do this. And so we start bringing our own fire into our worship. And church is full of our own religion instead of God's. People making up their own stuff. And then they're bringing it before God. And God says, you know what? I'm going to destroy you because you need to know the difference between what's common and what's holy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What's common? You know what's common? What's common is what everybody else is doing. And you know what everybody else is doing? We live in a world right now in the church, and we're hearing it left and right. We live in a world where here it is. We say, you know what? I love God, and I got my religion, but I find people putting all kinds of other stuff into it. I got a friend who pastored and started a church in New Orleans. And down there, he said, a lot of his church families, he'll walk by their house and go, what's that on your roof? And they'll have chicken heads on their roof. They'll decapitate a chicken and they'll throw the heads up on the roof. I said, what's that for? He says, they tell me these are Christians in his church. He said, well, that's to ward off the evil spirits. You see, they bring a little bit of their voodooism down there, their Creole, into their religion. I know other places that say, well, the Bible's not exactly right. It's wrong. And so we don't follow the Bible in our church. We just think it's a good book. And so everything in there, you don't have to listen to that or follow by that. We have people that are challenging, saying, well, marriage isn't between a man and a woman. I mean, that's kind of old-fashioned. And the church is bringing strange fire. We have students and other people that say, well, it doesn't matter if I get drunk. It doesn't matter if I do drugs. I mean, the Bible doesn't talk about weed. Well, by the way, when they brought into the incense, it's believed they also probably brought in some of their own kind of whatever weeds in there that weren't of God. But that has nothing to do with this. We just have people making up their own religion. We have people going to their own altar, bringing their own fire, and then trying to worship God. And God goes, what is that smell? It's not what I set up. And so my question to you today is this. Are you going to be a common people or are you going to be uncommon? God calls all of us to be uncommon this morning. Strange, peculiar. Thank you, God. So we sit here and say, God, change my life. God, do something in my life. Got two empty seats there, four empty seats there, five empty seats there. How can God do something? Why would I go to church with you? Why would I do anything? Because if God doesn't work for you, why in the world would you talk about God working for anyone else? We live in a world where we're excited about God and we really want God to do things, but the minute he doesn't, he's really not God, because after all, we're treating him as a common household item. We're treating him no different than a totem pole, a genie in a bottle, another religious god, because he's simply the same thing that everyone else has. And why in the world would I go to you? Because what do you have? And I want you to know today, I have a God who is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. He is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my Jehovah Shalom. He gives me peace when I need it. He is forgiveness. He is life-changing. He is real. He is awesome. And he does change my life. That's who my God is. And I don't think we have an issue whether or not God is God in our lives. We know he's God. That's not the question. The question is, are you still common? Are you just like everyone else? Or are you saying, God, I want to be uncommon? Let me give you a couple of things in here that I wrote down, just two things about being uncommon. The first thing is this. The first thing is, I just feel like God is just kind of thundering on us. I hear the rain going. I heard somebody that's missing a muffler. Now I hear a train going by. I'm just going to get ready for the earthquake. Why not? If it happens, you're all going to get saved today. So, why not? My God can do anything he wants, and he does anytime he wants. And he does it all the time. I've had the most incredible weekend I've had in years. God has not called us to be common people. He's called us to be uncommon. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10, look at this. In 10:10, you ought to just put this up somewhere in your life and say, you know what? That is going to be my new life goal, is to be uncommon. You must distinguish between the holy and the... God says, be holy, be set apart, be different, be someone different. It doesn't mean you don't sin. Listen, the fact that I'm uncommon does not mean I'm perfect. The fact that I'm uncommon means I know a God of grace and mercy that changes everything in my life. So here's the beauty of this whole thing. I have had just the most incredible thing, because I believe that we're to be uncommon. I watched God do things in my life this weekend. Friday, I spent my day off. I don't know what you do on your... I had the most uncommon experience on my day off. As a pastor, working 60, 70, 80 hours a week is not uncommon, okay? But what I'm doing with my life is extremely uncommon, all right? I'm seeing lives being transformed, people being changed. I hear the miracles, unexplainable things happening. I find the unsavable are saved, the unlovable are loved, and the impossible is possible. That's the difference. See, being busy isn't uncommon, but being life-changing. So Friday, I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, which is very uncommon for me. On purpose, without a golf club or a hunting gun. I just got up because I went to meet a bunch of students at a school, 25 to 30 of the most incredible students you'd ever meet. Several of them are right here in the front row. They're awesome. In the front row on a Sunday. On a Sunday. They're not at home. And I know prom was last night, all kinds of things going on for some of these students. Listen, we went invited into a school to perform dramas and testimonies and stories to every eighth grade class in the entire school system during the school day. This isn't an after school thing. We were invited in to go do this thing called PREP, Peer Resistance Education Program, and I spent my Friday watching these students and being a part of something incredible as they performed dramas about buttons and choices, and they performed all these things, and kids laughing so hard they were crying in the eighth grade class, and we earned the right to be heard, and then they finished this thing off with their stories and testimonies in a drama called Life House that we performed in our church a few times. And it's a story about Jesus kind of holding back the temptations of the world and saving this girl. And we're doing this, and I said, listen, this character in the churches when we do it represents Jesus, who's on your team. And all these characters represent the bad influences of your life. And now, in the school system, this may represent a teacher or a coach. Somewhere else, it might be a big brother or big sister. We just want you to know that's the person that's standing here, okay? So that they understand in the school district and in the schools exactly who this is. and the students go through and perform this, before we're done, there's hardly a dry eye. I mean, kids are breaking down and crying. We're counseling kids who have issues with suicide, drugs, bad relationships, self-image, home issues. And I'm watching our students surrounding kids in class in ELA going and counseling with them, telling, you're beautiful, you're valuable. God changed my life. He can change your life. And we're going through and doing this in our school system. Teachers and the principal are coming in, and trust me, so you say, wait a minute, is that legal? Yes, it is. People are just so afraid to do the uncommon that they want to do the common. The Supreme Court has given the right to talk about everything, and we're going to talk about this in just a second. But yes, it is legal to do this. People are just scared of being sued by one or two people, and so the 5 million people are afraid to say anything. Let me say that again. We're afraid of the one or two people suing and being offended, so we don't give legal rights to the millions that have it. But Supreme Court has said so. I watch teachers come in and sit through one and two and three classes going, this is awesome. This is one of the biggest impacts we've seen in our school. I mean, it has just been, and that was one school. We just launched it. I got done with that, and then I had the afternoon just kind of go, oh, get a bite to eat. Then my wife and I packed our bags, and we went to a Michael W. Smith worship concert. Oh my goodness. We spent the next 3 hours experiencing God in a very real way as we sang and closed out our worship time. God, rain down on us. I'm not afraid. Rain down on us. Rain down on us. And I watched about 1,200 people cry out to God. There wasn't a dry eye. There wasn't anybody hardly. I don't think anybody was sitting for 45 minutes as they were crying out to God in this city for God to come and rain down on us, which he's doing this morning. Thank God for answered prayer, but saying, God, rain down your mercy on us. We got done with that, and I thought, I can't take anymore. Got up Saturday morning, met with some family to go over their funeral to talk about a brother of ours who's in glory dancing in heaven. He was walking pretty slow last time I saw him in the mall. I said, you doing all right? He says, yep, I'm getting around. Today, he's not getting around, he's dancing. The Bible says that God actually dances over us, and I think he invites us into that dance. If you've never been invited into the dance of God, you haven't lived with Jesus yet, because when you're in love, you want to dance. And he offers you the first dance and the last dance. He is the Alpha, and he is the Omega. He is the beginning, and he is the end. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley, and he is my bright and shining star. He is my Savior. How can you not dance in this life? And so I got to do that, and then my wife and I decided we're going to go see this movie, God's Not Dead. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting in a movie theater. I am sitting in a movie theater. When I say God is uncommon, let me take you to this. Number one, we need to be an uncommon aroma. We smell to people, and they smell us all the time. Let me give you this scripture as I look at this uncommon. Before I go to this movie theater, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to bring this up for you. Look at this. To one, or oh no, let's go back to verse 15. Are we at 15? Yeah, we are. Oh, I'm looking at the other one. Thank you. For we are to God the, oh, there's that incense, Nadab and Abihu. We are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Look at the next verse. To the one, we are the smell. Greek word, stench. We are the stench of death. And to the other, we're the fragrance of life. So my question to you is this. What do you smell like to God? Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. Look at that worship. Look at these people. That's beautiful. Look at these young people changing lives. Look at those folks at Michael W. Smith changing lives. Look at. But can I tell you something? To the world, you stink. You have a horrible aroma. If you've ever been in a room or an elevator and someone's done the wrong thing in that place, you're like, get me out of here. Who stinks? Can I tell you, you stink to the world. You smell to the world. And the world doesn't like your odor. Now, God loves the odor of those who are being saved. You know why? Because it's just a different smell. And people are like, you know what? Why don't you get a little Jack Daniels and sprinkle it on you? You know what? Why don't you start smelling like us? Because you know what? You stink in this room. Yeah, because I'm uncommon. I have an uncommon smell. When I walk into a room, I'm like, people are like, hey, I know that guy. Yeah, he's one of them. I mean, they just know it. They just know that I have a smell. And the Bible says I'm a stench to the world, those who are dying. Because you know what? Life doesn't smell good to death. And death does not smell good to life. You want to know why you stink to the world? Because they're like, get some Jack Daniels on you. Hey, get a little premarital sex. Get a little pornography. Get a little bit of cussing and swearing in your life. Now you smell like us. Now we have a common smell. And God says, don't be common. Don't have a common aroma in your life. Be uncommon. So I go into the movie theater, and I'm sitting in the movie theater, right? And we're going to watch this, God's Not Dead, one of the lowest budgets. And I know cheesy Christian movies. And I have friends going, oh, it's so good. It's so good. You got to see it, Pastor. I have kind of a crazy high standard for movies. I go and stuff, and if I see something, I'm like, really, that's just Jesus cheesy, right? You know Jesus cheesy? I mean, they're the kind of movies that like, Jesus, man. You know, that stuff just doesn't fly with me. So I go in with this low expectation of this movie. And I walk in. I'm telling you what, one of the best movies I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm watching this movie. I got tears coming down I got my heart just pounding. I'm like, this is awesome. This is one of the best movies I've ever seen. The message was incredible. The storyline nailed it. They exalted God and brought it in some of the most clear thinking I have ever heard. I mean, when the movie was over, man, people are cheering and clapping. I went, who does this in the theater? Because a couple weeks ago, I went to see a movie called Noah. I walked in there. I'm a big Russell Crowe fan, trust me. And I go in thinking, this is going to be epic. I know the story is going to be a little off kilter. I didn't know it wasn't off kilter. I didn't know the boat was upside down. This was so far off. I'm just angry. I'm burning inside. I'm shaking. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding. And I shared with you a couple weeks ago, there was a guy waiting for me outside the theater ready to punch my face in because people were so angry. When we got done, nobody moved. Everybody sat there and went, what? When Noah, who didn't have his daughters on there, because some other guy snuck on the boat and tried to kill him with his oldest son, who was the only one who had a wife, yeah, I'm giving it away. Why not? Give what away? Was trying to stab his granddaughters who were born on the boat in the face and throw them overboard, even though he was a vegan, right? Yeah, I don't kill animals, but I'm going to kill my daughters and throw them over, granddaughters. And throw. So when it was all over, I'm sitting there going, what just happened? I want my 2 hours back. And everybody's just sitting there numb, and I went, two guys in the back thought I was serious. And they were waiting for me outside the theater saying stuff. Really? So I looked it up. I know I'm the aroma of life to God. And I have a smell. And do you know when you go into the world, you have that odor? And I want you to know, you better have the most uncomfortable. If you smell like the world, shame on you. God says, don't bring that fire to me. That's strange. Don't expect me to do things in your life. Here's what I found. I looked this up. Looked up, heaven is for real, and everybody's like, oh, heaven is for real. The critics said, heaven is for real. 49% of the critics liked it. I'm like, okay, well, it sold 7 million books. And I talked to Todd the other day. We're looking to bring he and his wife in November 21st. Tomorrow, the board, we're meeting. But I talked to Todd, who used to be in my youth group, and his wife, Sonia, was not in my youth group, and their son, Colton, are coming here to Port Huron. We're going to have them downtown, and we're going to have them do an interactive heaven is for real for us in November. And I'm talking to him. I said, Todd, this is awesome. He goes, yeah, but, man, the world hates it. My son's getting death threats. We have to have police protection everywhere he goes. Someone's trying to kill a kid for talking about heaven. So here it is. 49% of the critics liked it. Even though 7 million copies, number one on the bestseller list for just months, 76% of the people liked it. So it was a big hit. In fact, it has been the number one moneymaker per capita in the United States as a movie. Yeah, that's right. Jesus is number one again. Don't you love that? Well, let me give you this. So I went to see Noah, and here's what they say about Noah. 77% of the critics loved Noah. So Hollywood loved it. And of all those people that go, Russell Crowe fans, 46% of the people that went and saw it liked it. So more than half said, bomb. I'm going, wait a minute. God's Not Dead. I went to see it yesterday, and then I pulled this up. 13%, that's what's on the website, 13% of the critics like it. In other words, this thing is a bomb. Hated, nobody likes it. 85% of the people who saw it love it in America. It's a huge hit. In fact, it's so big they only release it in a few theaters. It's number 3 in money-making in the country of all these movies out there. And now they're releasing it in theaters everywhere. And they're like, and the critics are like 13% going, why is it doing so well? Because it's the aroma to life that people want to hear. They want to hear God's not dead. He is alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. I watched it. I came out and I said, God, you rock. To the world, we're the smell of death, 13%. To the critics. But to those who are being saved, the world is saying, save us, God. Hosanna, which means save us. The world's crying out for a Savior. You need to be uncommon because the world is not looking for common anymore. They're not filling the pews because the church is living a common life. Listen, let's stop getting our fire from our pockets. Let's start going and getting the fire from the altar of God. Okay, church? Let's stop trying to create our own worship, create our own image of God, create our own religion. Let's set down everything in our heart and say, God, bring into my heart the fire right from your altar and go ahead and burn something uncommon in me. That's what God wants. Let me close it with this. I'm going to close this up. Gosh, I wish I had so much more time. I was with so many people with Michael W. Smith. I love it. When I first got saved, it was Friends Are Friends Forever, Rocket Town, all these songs. 29 years ago, my girlfriend and I, Susan, my girlfriend and I, we went to one of our first concerts ever. It was Michael W. Smith. It was in Tulsa on a golf course with a lady named Amy Grant. Some of you are connecting. Some of you are like, who? It's all right. So it's neat for my wife and I to come back to this full circle. And as I sat there, I reminisced on an innocent time in my life where God put a fire in me. Put a fire in me. And that fire has not gone out. See, my fire always goes out. But God's fire never goes out. Ever. That's why I go to the altar of God to get my fire. Because my wood gets wet some days. I think there are days where I drown in my marriage. I drown in my parenting. I drown as a pastor and do things wrong. People call up and say, Pastor, you dropped the ball. You forgot to call me back. My wife says, hey, you know, you need to be a little more peaceful. Be careful of your tongue. My children say, hey, Dad, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I'm just trying here. There are days I just feel like I drown in the world. But you know what? No matter how wet my wood gets, Jesus gives me a fire that can still burn in every situation. He is what gives me the aroma of life. Oh, you smell so good. You smell so good, church. God in heaven heard your song this morning. God, I need you. Every hour I need you. You are my song. That's beautiful. And he sends fresh rain down just to reward you. If you don't know his power, he sends a train by to give you a little thunder. In case you missed it, he took a muffler off some kid's car out there apparently that decided to hot rod it at my prayer time. It's okay, God. Interrupt us. You're uncommon. I'm okay with uncommon. I met a kid in my youth group years ago up in Croswell, and I said one day, I was in a youth center, and they said, Pastor, it's cold in here. The heat hasn't warmed everything up. I said, I got to run next door and grab my Bible. I forgot my Bible. I'll be right back. So I left the Sunday school, and this kid named Dan from Carsonville. This is a long time ago. Daniel, we called him Sarge or Pyro. He got his name on a Sunday morning when I said, I'll be right back. Start a bonfire. He did. I'm not kidding you. In the Sunday school class, he found one of those 50-gallon plastic barrels, grabbed all the papers, threw it in there. While I was gone, he grabbed a lighter and he lit it. I came back. There's a fire in the middle of the youth center in the Sunday school classroom. And they're all standing around like I should have marshmallows with me. They're standing around going, hey, how you doing? I said, what are you guys? I grabbed the fire extinguisher. I'm spraying things out. I mean, smoke everywhere. I said, what were you doing? Dan goes, we're cold. We got over to church. Everybody goes, you guys, smell like you've been smoking. I said, oh, we're on fire in church today. Literally. I took Dan to youth camp with us where we're going to camp this summer. And we had a bonfire on the beach, and we were doing a pig roast. And we have a little lake there. And Dan decided the fire wasn't large enough. So Dan grabs the gas can, goes over to the fire and decides he's going to dump gas on the fire. Yeah, some of you already know what's about to happen. I couldn't say it fast enough, and everything went into instant slow motion. And the fire started coming right up out of that pit and right to that can. And I just screamed, throw it! And Dan, in an instant, kind of looked and tossed. As he's tossing this thing, you can see gas is coming out, and this thing is catching it. It was kind of neat, I got to say. Even though I thought somebody's going to go meet Jesus right now, we're watching this thing just climb as it's going through the air, and boom, huge explosion. Gas goes everywhere. Now I'm standing there staring with some of our leaders. The lake is now on fire. Gas is everywhere, and the lake is on fire. Dan comes and puts his arm around me. Like, this is a neat, normal thing. I said, Dan, you just lit a lake on fire. Water is burning. He goes, cool. Sure, Dan. He lit water on fire. The only kid I know. By the way, the good news, Dan left everything. He came to Alabama and lived with my wife and I for a year, went into ministry. He's a pastor today. Of course. They make great youth pastors, don't they? I watched a kid very innocently light a lake on fire. It reminds me of this, that no matter how wet you are, no matter how far you think you're away, God can light a fire in you and make you have the most uncommon things in your life that you've never seen. God loves uncommon. Be a part of that. Let's stand and pray.